you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey everyone, welcome to an all new episode of Dubs Talk. I'm Grant Lifman, alongside, as always, Kendra Andrews. And this pod is brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's doesn't just have breakfast. It has a breakfast worth talking about. Don't let your friends miss out. Tell them all that Wendy's is the place to be. Okay, so Kendra, this is a fun pod today because we get Draymond Green on. And we're going to send it over to that interview very shortly. And it was, he's just awesome, Kendra. I don't know a better way to say it.
Yeah. Fun and Draymond, same sentence, makes sense. That, I mean, I think that we could have talked to that man for a couple hours, right? Like this interview was, it was a finite amount of time, but I could have kept talking with him because he just has so much insight and so many thoughts and it's so great to actually just hear those and hear what he has to say about this team and him.
Yeah. So we'll get to that in a second, but first I want to go over some trade rumors going around right now. First of all, let's talk Aaron Gordon. Now, Aaron Gordon has been rumored, right, for a long time to be somebody the Warriors might be interested in. Bay Area kid, makes sense. But according to our friends at PointsBet, they are saying that the Warriors are the favorites to land Aaron Gordon at this point. Gordon of the Magic, of course. And they're at plus 225. These odds are powered by our partners at PointsBet Sportsbook. And at plus 225, they're pretty much saying that the Warriors are the fit for him. And I understand why, right? Kendra, like next year, right now he's making about $18 million. Next year, his salary actually goes down to about 16.5. That fits into what the Warriors want, that slot that they're looking at, right? And the guy is more of a power forward type. You'd understand why the Warriors would be interested in him. He plays some defense. His three-point shot can be, inconsistent at times. But every now and then, he looks very legit. He can do many things on the court, very athletic. The biggest thing against him, Kendra, is injury history, right? It's hard to stay on the court sometimes for Aaron Gordon. But the rumor therefore would be that Kelly Oubre would be the big piece going across. My hesitation about this trade is not as much. The injury history is something to be concerned about. The Magic want a lot back, and it's not just going to be Kelly Oubre. It would be picks, et cetera. And I just don't know if that's worth it for 1 year of Aaron Gordon. What do you think?
We've talked about this multiple times. You always have to ask, well, what do you have to give up for that piece? And is it worth it? And you just said it again, is it worth it to give up Kelly Oubre, future first round picks, maybe something else if the Magic are thinking that Aaron Gordon is worth that extra piece, whatever that is. And you just have to ask, okay, how much of a difference is Aaron Gordon going to make in that 1 year? So immediately that Kelly Oubre hasn't been doing or that future round or first round picks could do. And so I'm with you on that, the hesitancy. And I think that's what I'm going to keep going back to during this entire trade deadline is just, well, is it really worth it? Is it going to give the impact that they need? And is the immediate impact more important than now and in the future? And I feel like Gordon would be more of a just now, just let's do well this season and maybe next year, but not really thinking of working the Warriors back up to that dynasty that they were before.
Yeah, it really just comes down to what you're giving up, right? If it's straight up Kelly Oubre for Aaron Gordon, sure, you understand why they would want to do that. But Magic aren't looking for that, apparently. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer put out there that the Warriors have already talked to Aaron Gordon or about the Magic about Aaron Gordon. They say he says, and this has been reported other places that the Warriors are shopping Kelly Oubre. You know, that's the name, and that's kind of what we all expected. The other rumor that came out are the Warriors are interested in Bogdan Bogdanovic of the Atlanta Hawks. Now, this one intrigues me, Kendra, because so I liked his game with the Sacramento Kings, right? And he's a wing guard slash wing type, 6 foot six, about underrated playmaker, good outside shooter, but at a higher volume. So that's why his numbers, I think his best was around 37, 38% from three. But again, that the offense that the Warriors run, I think he fits really well into it. I like his game. Now, he just signed with the Hawks this year. He's going to be making about $18 million per year for another 3 years after this. So it fits in what the Warriors want. Though I do think there's a trade kicker in there as well. So it might be a little higher. It might be $18 to $20 million. But the point is, what do you have to give up for him as well? He's somebody that the Hawks brought in for their future. But the catch is, maybe 2 weeks ago, it would have been easier to make this deal. Hawks are red hot right now. They're in the middle of the playoff race right now for in the East. And now they're looking at, let's make a run here. So it may be before it was like, oh, is there a rebuild and all that stuff? But no, they're like, let's go for it. So where that changes things is, Kendra, I'm assuming at this point, they don't want picks for the future for him. They want players now, right? That can help them win. Kelly Oubre, obviously the name that's going to be part of it, but who else would be part of that?
Right. And that's a really great point to bring up. They don't want future hypotheticals. And again, like, are the Warriors, is Bogdanovic going to, just that one player going to fix or make up for what the Warriors would have to give up in Oubre and whoever else that is? Jordan, is it going to be Jordan Poole? Is it going to, you know, and yes, Jordan Poole's very young, but he has proven that he can play at this level. And, you know, maybe the Hawks would be interested in that. But again, are the Warriors willing to give up what they finally found in Jordan Poole to be a backup guard in that second unit? So we're just going to be having a lot of these conversations of, it really depends on what the Warriors are going to be giving up. And it's really interesting to see how different the trade to the Magic for Aaron Gordon would be for futures and hypotheticals, to what the Hawks would probably want, which is established, tangible talent. And it's two different things for the Warriors to have to split with if they decided to go down that road. So they have to decide, okay, which one will benefit us more, if any of them.
Yeah. And in this case, you know, also we have to remember there are multiple teams trying to trade for people right now, and that drives up trade demands, et cetera. And, you know, the Warriors don't want to get in a bidding war. That's not what they're looking to do. But both players make sense. I truly like both of their games. I personally think the fit with Bogdanovic is fantastic. We'll see what they can do. Does that mean that Oubre, Eric Paschal, you know, who Warrior fans like, that Jordan Poole, Kent Bazemore is having a good season? These are the names that you'd have to think could be, you know, the really piquing the interest of the Atlanta Hawks. So much to break down, and we will be with you for all trade deadline stuff. But enough about this stuff. Let's get to Draymond Green. So excited to share this interview with you. Again, as always, subscribe, rate, let us know how you think of the interview, and enjoy. We have a very, very special guest. He needs no introduction, but we have him, so we might as well do an introduction. Three-time champion, former defensive player of the year, in our opinion, definitely future Hall of Famer. We got Draymond Green with us. Draymond, how you doing?
I'm good. How about you, Grant?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So let's start off with this. Over the All-Star break, I was watching, they had those Inside the NBA documentary. I don't know if you got to see it. And there was a bidding war when Charles Barkley retired to be a broadcaster. Are you ready for the bidding war for you to take over as the next big broadcaster?
Man, I hope to be in that position. You know, throughout the bubble last year, you know, I was able to get a lot of experience down there at TNT. You know, I'm very thankful for the opportunity that Tara August and staff and really presented to me. You know, I mean, I had so much fun doing that, you know, and the only thing I could think of when I was first going is like, man, I got to be on the stage with Chuck. I don't like Chuck. He always talking this, he talking that. And, you know, I had the time of my life. I learned so much. Those guys taught me everything they possibly could. Did a show with Carrie Champion as well, the arena down there. And she was teaching me everything that she could. I mean, the experience that I gained while doing that was incredible. So in saying that, I can only hope to be in that position. Chuck is great. Obviously there was a bidding war and it was for good reason, as we've seen. You know, he's probably had an even better TV career than basketball, and he's a Hall of Famer, you know, in playing basketball. So that's saying a lot. So, you know, I'd be honored, and I am honored to even be mentioned in the same breath, because he's, you know, he's taken that TV role and taken it to an entirely different level than I'm sure they even thought he would.
Yeah, and I mean, we could throw Shaq into that bidding war too. I remember when he retired, he did it immediately. He was like, oh, I'm open for business if anyone wants to talk to me. So, I mean, if you enjoy this podcast enough, we can, you know, we can talk about if you want to be after you retire, but, you know, hopefully. That's a while from now. All right, so you're on the court, and help us out. The fans are watching you, and when you're talking to officials, you're upset about something, you're very demonstrative, right? We see you, your body language, you're talking. What's give us an example. Tell people what are you saying to these guys, and then like what's the trigger? Is there a trigger word that goes off that a tech comes?
It's different with different officials. You know, some officials you can say a little more, some you can't say much at all. What I'm saying, it depends on the moment, you know. You know, it could be arguing a call, it could be a lot more than that, which I'll leave on the floor. You know, but I don't necessarily too much worry about it. I mean, I think, you know, I've shown that, you know, I can get to 15 techs and be just fine in front for the rest of the year. But yeah, I mean, those conversations tend to vary, but I'll leave them on the court, because some of them can get a bit wild.
This is a family show, so yeah.
But following up on that, do you ever, when it comes to just your group, the Warriors as a group, your teammates, do you ever maybe purposely kind of go at one of your teammates in practice just to see, are they going to fight back? Are they going to be a little bit more timid if it's a new player, a younger player, just to see what type of grit or fighting words they might have in their back pocket?
Oh, 100%. You know, at some point I go at all my teammates, because you have to know, you know, who you're standing next to on the battlefield. You know, you have to know, if something jumps off, if I get into something or someone else get into something, is this guy going to help me, or is this going to be a guy that I need to help, you know? And I think that matters. You know, you have to know, because what you also have to know is how to lead that particular guy. You know, one thing I believe in leadership is you can't lead, you know, people always say, oh man, this guy leads the team. Leading team is leading individuals. You can't lead a team without leading particular individuals, because everybody has to be led different. You know, the way you may lead a Steph Curry, you can't lead Andrew Wiggins, you know. And so, you know, it's just different guys. You have to figure out what works with that guy. Part of that is definitely me in practice trash talking a guy and seeing how they respond to that. Because if you can't take the trash talk in, if you can't take the trash talk in practice, and I'm your teammate, I mean, good luck taking it in the game, where in a normal state there's 20,000 people screaming and yelling, and you got another guy from another team who's an all-star, so you're already a little self-conscious about anything that guy may say, because you don't know. I mean, because you know you can't really argue back. Now, most people think that you can't argue back because that's an all-star. I quite frankly never believed that. But, you know, some people do. So I think it's very important to kind of have those moments in practice just to see, you know, who you're going to battle with, and kind of understand guys from a different perspective.
You talk about leadership and different kinds of leadership. And you said this year, you know, Clay is a guy who's become more talkative, has found his voice a little bit more. Is there a anecdote or a story from the past couple of years, even with him on the sidelines, of him just finding that new voice, maybe a little bit of a louder voice than before?
I mean, there's always episodes on sideline, especially now. Well, what are we, 20 and 20, 21 and 20, something like that? So, there's been quite a few games that didn't go well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Clay's thing is, you know, he'll see certain guys talking. And he's just like, dude, like, no, you can't talk. Like, we've destroyed you for years. And now you want to talk to a rookie? You know, and so he's had several moments like that. I still remember 2 years ago when we were playing Toronto, going into game six, he's like, Dre, I'm about to have one of those games. I'm telling you now, I'm about to have one of those games. And I'm just like, what? He's like, no, I'm about to destroy them. I'm telling you, just give me the ball. I'm about to have one of those games. And I was like, all right. Sure enough, he was having one of those games. And, you know, we were right there to take it to a game seven. And then obviously he got hurt. You know, so just watching that confidence grow over the years, has really been a special thing. And just watching him find his voice.
Well, we've had Leandro Barbosa on here. We've had Zaza. We've had a few guys, and they and talking about the past. They say that you got into Clay a little bit back in the day, and he was able to take it. He was able to take it in stride.
I still get into Clay. That's something that'll never change. We were in Orlando a few weeks back when we played in Orlando, and we had just lost the game by 2 points or something. We should have won the game. I was pissed off. And I walk in the locker room and Clay's back. He's literally facing in towards the locker, eating something and like just bobbing his head, listening to some music. And I went crazy. I'm like, bro, what you doing? Like, we just lost. You in here just bobbing your head, your back turned. You ain't going to say nothing to nobody when we walk in the locker room. You just going to sit there. You're not going to say nothing to nobody. He was furious. He was like, oh, my fault, bro. Good game. And and he left the locker room. And he was furious. I mean, furious. And I think the next day was the game I got kicked out of the game in Charlotte. And he said something in the locker room right after the game. The team huddled up and he said, Dre, you got at me the other day about not being on the bench and, not being supportive. And that was BS. I don't think I can say what I want to say on here, but that was BS. And you got to be better than that. You let the team down. You let the guys down. These guys play really hard to win that game. You let the guys down. That's not acceptable. And so I said all of that to say, yes, I definitely still hold him accountable, but that's a two-way street. You don't win three championships, go to five straight finals, and experience the success that we've experienced together if you can't hold each other accountable.
Yeah, and it sounds like as you grow and you're playing around with each other for so long, it's like a brotherhood that you can say things back and forth to each other. And just talking about your play this year, obviously we're seeing you back at that elite defensive level. People have asked you about the defensive player of the year, and as you should say, you feel like you're the best defender in the league. Just out of curiosity, just going around the league, like who would be on your all defensive team in the NBA? Who do you respect in that regard?
I think there are several guys, that are capable of making that team. I can't, I don't watch enough of everyone else's games consistently to say, oh man, this guy, is on that team or that guy. I think there are some guys who, you just go around the league and, they're very, I definitely respect them as defenders. I think a name I've been seeing a lot is Ben Simmons. And I think Ben is a very good defender. Like myself, he's very versatile. He can guard a big man. He can guard a point guard. Ben more, he usually more guards wings and mostly point guards. But, he's a very versatile defender. But, I can go all around the league and find good defenders. I just don't think any of them are as good as me.
I mean, that's the right attitude to have. Why would you have it any other way? So in your
mind, I think I'm the best defender to ever play this game in NBA.
Do
that's
you?
My 100%. That's my opinion. But, you know, I also think I view the game a lot differently than most people view the games. I think I just see it from a different perspective, you know, and I just don't think, you know, I think when you look at the things that make a great defender, reaction time, toughness, being able to see the picture long before it develops, and most importantly, in order to finish a defensive possession, you got to rebound. And I think I rebound well. And so, you know, when I look at all the facets that make up the defensive side of the ball, I think I'm great in every facet that makes up that side of the ball. And so I think I'm the best defender to ever play in the NBA. And I stand by that. I'll put myself up against anyone.
I mean, when you think about the best defenders of all time, usually, you know, because today is more positionless and you're able to guard 1 through 5, you know, we were able to talk about you as one of the best interior defenders and perimeter defenders, right? In the past, when we talked about Michael Jordan as one of the best defenders, he was a perimeter defender, right? He wasn't going to go down low and bang around down low. So, I mean, I'm not going to be the one to disagree with you on that. I can definitely see that. And your legacy will be, you know, part of it will be your defense, right? Mm-hmm. And legacy has come up so much this year about Steph Curry. And I just, what do you think is the reason why why this is even a question? I don't feel like we get those same questions about other people as much as Steph gets.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day, like, man, I was reading my quote from All-Star Weekend where I think I was talking to Roz, and I was just speaking about how, oh, there's been so much doubt about Steph's legacy and so much discussion about Steph's legacy this year. And I said to her, I don't understand it. And I saw that quote on Instagram a few days ago, and I was sitting and thinking about it, and I said, well, the reality is, if I think who is the most beat down athlete of our generation and probably of all time, the athlete that has taken the most criticism, it's LeBron James. And if you look at LeBron James' body of work, on the court, off the court, does not matter. The fact that people still criticize him and try to, I mean, I watched a game last year that, like, if they lose this game, his legacy is done. And I'm just sitting there like, you can't possibly say after everything this man has done that if they lose this one game, his legacy is done. But that's the narrative people build up. And so, I said all of that to say, when I was sitting there thinking about this, I came to the conclusion that, oh, they're going to continue to take rips at his legacy because they do that to LeBron James. People just don't have an appreciation for greatness, and more importantly, people don't have an understanding for greatness. So because you don't understand greatness, you question greatness. We all question what we don't understand. You know, if you don't understand something, since you were a child, what do they tell you? Say, hey, I have a question. I don't understand. Everyone questions these guys' legacy because they don't understand greatness. And so that's kind of what I came up with over the last few days. Like, they'll continue to be questioned because people don't understand greatness. It kind of goes back to what Kobe said to me. Draymond, 99% of the world is okay with mediocrity or better, or mediocrity or less than mediocrity. But mediocrity is great for them. How could you ever expect them to understand you and you're chasing something so much greater than what they can ever understand? That is Steph Curry's legacy. That is LeBron's legacy. People don't understand greatness. They will never understand what those guys are doing. And that's just what it is.
I feel like on the opposite end of the spectrum of reaching greatness and finalizing your legacy, or maybe not finalizing it because you guys are still in the midst of your careers, but working towards that legacy, you look on the other end of the spectrum at your young teammate like James Wiseman, and people say, okay, well, it's a little early to talk about his legacy in the long term, but in the short term, his rookie year, oh, he's underwhelming. Warriors should have gone for LaMelo Ball instead without taking a step back and saying, okay, well, it's a journey. We're still working through it. It's only his rookie year. And he's, you know, gone through a lot this year with injuries, being in COVID protocols. But when it comes to you, you know, it's well documented that you've been a mentor for him throughout this season. What are the things that you're telling him as all this chatter and outside noise is going on? Because I'm assuming at a certain point, it's hard to block out at being 19 years old.
Well, for sure. You know, and I try to talk to him about an array of things, on the court, off the court. But most importantly, is enjoying the game, you know, enjoying the lumps that he takes. You know, it's all a part of the process. And while taking those lumps, staying confident. You know, because I think, you know, one thing that people don't talk about when speaking of the NBA game is confidence. And when you lose confidence in this league, you can forget about it. You may as well hang them up because you're not going to be able to produce at the level you need to produce at. And so confidence is so important. So I'm just always on him about just staying confident. You know, stop getting down on yourself. Who cares? I don't care if you turn the ball over 7 times. Be aggressive on the 8th time. You know, if you miss however many shots you miss, you are that good. So what? Be aggressive. And so I think for me, the biggest thing that I'm trying to help him with is his understanding of the game and his mentality. Because I think if his understanding of the game continue to grow and if his mentality gets to where it needs to be, everybody can cancel Christmas because he'll dominate this league for the next 15 years. So those are the two things, and understanding, you know, and having the success that I've had, understanding how important they are. And then seeing a 19-year-old kid who doesn't know much, who hasn't experienced much life at all, I know how important those things are. And the faster he can get it, the better it is for his career. So I just try to harp on those things quite a bit.
Draymond, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Awesome insight. And I'm happy that you're going to come back on every week with us, I'm hearing. And I really hope you have a very great rest of the season. Stay healthy. And thanks again for joining us.
All right, no problem. Thanks, Grant and Kendra, for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.